all you do for our community. If people have follow-up questions, if they want to know more, we always encourage you to stop on by at Fabuli Natural Foods. Ask some questions. You guys and your team over there are well-prepared. You love getting questions. And if you don't know the answers, you're going to look it up together. You guys will hunt it down together, and you find out something just as much as the customer does.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we'll be talking with you again next month. Looking forward to that. You guys say hi to the family for us. Take care. Again, congratulations, my man. Very happy for you and yours. That's cool. We'll talk again real soon, you guys. Take care.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Encourage you to follow Family Natural Foods on social media and stop on by over at the store there in West Side of Rapids. Go on and stop by and say hi to our friends at Family Natural Foods. Come back with the gang from Encourage right here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320, WFHR.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Here's your weather forecast on locally grown radio WFHR.
With a look at your forecast, I'm meteorologist Ashley O'Connor. Breezy today under a mix of sun and clouds. It will be hot and humid with high temps headed for the mid to upper 80s. A few storms are possible this afternoon, some of which could be strong. Clear skies tonight with a low temp near 60. The fruit truck will be here soon with Washington apples, pears, peaches, and nectarines straight from the orchard. Reserve yours now at myfruittruck.com. It's 76 right now.
Looking at those local temperatures, 72 in Stevens Point, 73 in Marshfield and Wausau, 75 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this August 11th, 2021. Your host, James J. Mailoff here, and we're joined right now by our friends from Encourage. We have on the phone lines Christopher Gesch, Encourage Board Chairman. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm always doing good when I get to talk to you, man. It's always good to hear from you. How you been?
Quite well.
Good. Good to hear. Very good to hear. I don't know if your ears are burning. Stephen and Katrina and I were talking about you, so... Good to have you with us, Chris.
Happy to be here.
Good. We also have Kyle Curran with us, Director of Community Development for Rapids. Good morning, Kyle.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to have you with us again. I know the last time you were with us, we had so much fun. We got to get Kyle back in. It took us a little while, but here you are.
Yes, and I'm excited to talk about a project, a new city initiative that's underway.
Yeah. Before we dive into that, Kyle, how are you and yours doing? Everybody holding up all right?
We're doing well, enjoying the summer. We've got out quite a bit and actually just got back from vacation up in Eagle River last week. So playing catch-up in the office today.
Sure. Yeah, we can relate to that. But also a good time to put you to work. You're all rested and everything. So let's dive right into the meat of this and what you wanted to get into. The summarizing the city application to the EDA, WEDC, the funds, if we can kind of dive right into that.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that the city pursued this initiative as a result of the mill closure or the idling of the mill, as well as the effects that the pandemic had on our local economy. Mm. And so I think it was November of last year, we pursued CARES Act dollars through the U.S. EDA, Economic Development Association, or Administration. And we applied for $144,000 to essentially hire a consultant to create a recovery and redevelopment plan for the idled mill site and areas surrounding the property in downtown Wisconsin Rapids.
Hmm. How did this start?
With the CARES Act and other sources of funding, we obviously wanted to try to take advantage of those funding sources. And I think the most difficult part is trying to connect them to a project or an initiative. And in this case, obviously last year with the mill idling and other things going on within the local economy, it seemed fitting that we pursue a kind of a recovery and redevelopment plan. And I'll get into the five different aspects of the plan, but we also connected with North Central Regional Plan Commission, which is out of Wausau, and they serve, I believe, a 10-county area. And Dennis Lawrence up there is the director, and they were actually slated to be an assistant to get these CARES Act dollars out into the communities that they serve. So we worked with him to apply for the funds through the EDA. And then we also worked with Angel Whitehead with the local chamber here to apply for the match. So they actually applied for a $36,000 match to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So the total project cost for this is about $180,000. And it really will allow us to do quite a bit with regards to planning, a market analysis, and those are really the five different steps that I can get into shortly.
So before we get into that, would you mind for the audience summarizing the EDA WEDC award and the funding there?
Yeah, and so again, as I noted, the total project cost is $180,000. Again, $36,000 came from WEDC, $144,000 came from the EDA, and we are ever grateful to those community or for those organizations to provide those funds to the community. Ultimately, the city isn't necessarily on the hook for any dollar amount, and so most of the time when you apply for a grant, you've got to provide that match, and in this case, WEDC stepped up, identifying the importance that they can play in looking at the site and the paper industry as a whole, and wanted to provide some level of assistance. So we just finished up kind of phase two, which was submitting an RFP, a request for proposals to consultants, and we actually made a recommendation on a consultant to hire to create the project to the Common Council. It was to the Finance Committee for the city last week, and it'll be to the Council next week.
Hmm. Is that pretty much the timeline for this project?
Yeah, the timeline is to get a consultant on board within the next month or two, and then immediately have them hit the ground running in terms of beginning with the five phases of the project. And ultimately, it's about a 12-month to 18-month timeline for the total project, and then that doesn't necessarily include implementation, which is the last phase of the project.
So these funds aren't going to be hitting these areas in the next month or two. It's not a quick process necessarily. You got to take your time with this. Want to make sure to get these funds. It's great to have the funds. Want to make sure that they're going in the right places where they are most needed.
Right. And so the funds are essentially going to be used to create a document, and that document is going to be in the form of a market assessment that's really going to look at the demographics of the area, again, the paper industry and other industries. It's going to look at workforce within the area. And it'll take into consideration other, economic opportunities or challenges. It'll look at supply chains. And it might involve conducting meetings with potential developers, investors, financial institutions, realtors in the area to get a feel for, again, the local economy and how it's been affected.
See, if you keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say the next phase is visioning. So, and these may go hand in hand, but it's going to involve the consultant getting out in the community, putting on some planning charrettes, which is just, like a neighborhood planning meeting, and talking to local leaders and officials and hosting these meetings, as well as possibly issuing some surveys to get some feedback from the community regarding the mill, its history, possible reuse of the mill, and just how the it's played within to the downtown over time. Phase three then is, I think, the most exciting phase, which is actually the consultant will put together a redevelopment plan that'll look at infrastructure. It'll look at adjoining parcels, land use, transportation, utilities, and several other factors. And there'll be several maps that are created. And this is something that the city will then use to formulate a strategy. And the consultant will put together with these three first phases a strategy with goals and objectives that we can then start implementing regarding the idled mill site as well as the areas surrounding the site.
So I know that there's been a lot of talk of funding and that in the news for quite a while. And usually the pushback, one of the things we see the most is, well, if we're going to get the funds, I want now. I want it to happen now. I want it to go now. And there's a big reason why this stuff takes time. If I find $10 in my pocket, I'm like, oh, I got an extra $10. I'm going to, buy something and whatever with it. If I find an extra $10,000 in my pocket, I'm going to want to plan that out. I'm not going to want to just go and spend the whole $10,000 on whatever. I want to, this is a gift. I'm really lucky I found this. I'm going to be smart about it. Then maybe I should make a car payment or a house payment. You plan these things out. It's no different than that. It's on a larger scale, but it is just like that. If we want these funds are for a reason. If we want them to go to the right places, it takes thought, takes time, takes patience. We're all understanding of, hey, people are hurting right now. Let's get this done. It's not as simple as that. And if we really care, if we really want to do something for these people, we got to take our time with it. We have to be smart about this.
Right. This really allows the city to take a proactive approach to redevelopment, to better understand the paper industry and other industries, related industries to the paper industry, whether that be transportation, maintenance, mechanics, things of that nature. And again, this, it's important to note that while these aren't funds that are being dispersed to businesses, what this hopefully will lead to is, some initiatives. It could be 12 or 18 months from now that can help to redevelop these the mill site, if it's not fully utilized, depending on what happens with the site, and or other adjacent properties in the downtown that are currently underutilized. It allows us to maybe pursue developers or pursue other opportunities when it comes to, the creation of business districts or TIF districts or, pursuing other sources of funds through the federal or state government, rather than just kind of sitting idly by while the mill continues to, sit vacant, and or several other properties in downtown certainly, are underutilized and remain to be vacant. And so the hope is that this is something that'll be implemented as soon as it's finished. And that's a big component, which is phase five of the project, is that implementation part of the project.
Doing it right does take time. We can look at any number of initiatives or projects throughout our community's history that don't just materialize overnight. We certainly want them to, but, right. Thinking back to things like the Centralia Center and, the Aquatic Center, and certainly we would put the Tribune Building in that same boat as well, that in order to do it the right way, it's a process that can't be rushed and needs to benefit the community in the best way possible. So yeah. that just demonstrates that you're doing it the right way.
Well said. I mean, even just looking at your own life, there's virtually nothing in your own life that doesn't take some patience and work if you really want it done right, especially any DIY projects or anything like that. And I know I found that out the hard way. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Come back with more with our friends from Encourage right here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320. This is WFHR.
Calling all Rafter fans, James here, and I'm inviting you to join me Thursdays at 11:30 for another season of Meet Your Rafters. Every Home Thursday, we'll have members of this year's team in the studio, giving you a chance to get to know the team, their host families, and the latest happenings at legendary Winter Field. It's Meet Your Rafters, Thursdays at 11:30 at your home for Rafters baseball all season long. AM 1320, WFHR, locally grown radio. Let's play ball!
Hi, Cap. Elmo wants to know, what is the census?
Ah, the census is a special time when we count every single person in the country.
Do kids and babies count, too?
Of course. Counting everyone in your home helps support your neighborhood by funding schools, hospitals, and more. So complete the census by calling, going online, or returning your form by mail. It's totally private.
Visit 2020census.gov and...
Make your family count!
Brought to you by Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Ad Council.
Here's your weather forecast on locally grown radio WFHR.
With a look at your forecast, I'm meteorologist Ashley O'Connor. Breezy today under a mix of sun and clouds. It will be hot and humid with high temps headed for the mid to upper 80s. A few storms are possible this afternoon, some of which could be strong. Clear skies tonight with a low temp near 60. The fruit truck will be here soon with Washington apples, pears, peaches, and nectarines straight from the orchard. Reserve yours now at myfruittruck.com. It's 76 right now.
71 in Stevens Point, 73 in Marshfield and Wausau, 75 here in Wisconsin Rapids, where we have our friends from Encourage on the air with us. We have Christopher Guest joining us. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
And Kyle Kern with us as well. And again, good morning, Kyle. We were just in the middle of talking about some of these things as far as the funding and that and the grant. What are the next steps now?
Yeah, so again, as I alluded to earlier, the Common Council should hopefully approve a consultant next week.
Kyle, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Would you mind pulling the mic just a little closer just so we can...
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. You're saying some good stuff here. I want to make sure we hear you.
Yeah, so the Common Council should hopefully approve a consultant next week. That would then mean that, you know, we would enter into a contract with that consultant to begin the work. And I think aside from the market analysis that they'll begin immediately, they're also going to be conducting, you know, the visioning and the planning charrettes in the community to gain that feedback and input from residents. And so I would say to anyone interested that's listening now to provide input or just to learn more about the project, those, you know, planning workshops in the community will probably take place in the next couple of months here, I would say before the end of the year. And I would encourage all residents, again, that want to provide that input or feedback to attend those workshops. And they're also, you know, there may be an opportunity to provide comment electronically or to fill out surveys as well.
Mm. Good to know. Is there any... update seems like a big, broad term, but is there any updates or anything as far as the co-op and the Verso?
Yeah, and so, you know, I think it's important to note that, you know, this project, this recovery and redevelopment plan, this is going to happen no matter what happens with the mill. I think it's, you know, it the goals and objectives from this plan and the implementation strategy could be implemented a number of different ways dependent upon what happens at the mill, but ultimately, if you know, the mill sells, you know, to another private entity and operates in its entirety, I think that's great for the community. It puts people back to work. But we can still utilize this plan to implement goals and strategies for some of the surrounding properties on the mill. And, you know, if a new owner or the co-op, for example, don't utilize every single aspect of the mill, that may make some properties available for redevelopment. And so we can, again, use the implementation portion of this plan to start focusing on those different aspects of the mill. So, you know, as far as I know, with regards to Verso, obviously Atlas has Atlas Holdings LLC has made an offer to purchase the entirety of Verso stock and shares. I think that's in the review process, and the Verso board is taking their time doing that. As far as I know, I think Atlas wants to move relatively quickly, but again. I think there's a lot at play there. The co-op is still interested after the governor did not include the $50 million in the budget for the co-op. I'm not sure what their next course of action will be, but I know they are still very interested in operating. They obviously have a letter of intent submitted to Verso, but you know, I'd hope that something in the near future happens because you know, I hate to say it, even though we're investing the money in this plan, I would rather not have to implement the entire plan in its entirety, because that would mean that the mill's doing well, somebody's come and operating it in some capacity or another.
I appreciate the bluntness there, the honesty. It's one of the things that we like about talking with you, Kyle. The not only getting to see behind the curtain, you do a really nice job of describing all those things for us, but telling it like it is. Yeah, being honest, I appreciate that. But
yeah, of course.
Also speaks to something, I think, that you're not alone there. I think a lot of the community feels very similar to that. And we're at a point with it, too, where there's a point where you get past frustrated. You get past angry, you get past being sad or any of that, and you're just kind of like, let's, you know, what's next? What is being done to help? What is being done to work on this? And for many people, I think this is the first update they've had, because we had the Rapids Together Task Force that was there, and I haven't heard from them in a while. We haven't heard any updates from them or anything. We have people that are wondering. We have people with questions, people wondering things. This is at least something. This is a lot of something and a lot of really good. This is a lot, much more than that. And I mean, to simplify it, but we're getting some kind of data here. We're getting some information that can be as helpful as money can be oftentimes. There are people there, well, certainly that are having bills that are collecting or any of these other things. The toll that it takes on the mental health is so key to me, is that really should be discussed when we're talking about this with our community, with our people. As important as it is to get them back to work and all those things, it's also important that while they're waiting for this, are we checking in on them? How's their mental health? Are those things?
Right.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think that's, you know, for as much as we talk about statistics, and we've all learned a lot of statistics over the last year about, you know, 25% of the hardwood in the state goes through the Rapids Mill or went through the Rapids Mill, and X number of jobs that have been, you know, eliminated or workers displaced. And really, at the end of the day, what that comes back to is people. And we've talked for so long about how, you know, our greatest asset here is the people. And we know that these are real people and real families that are hurting, and there are opportunities there. And the way to capitalize on those as best as we can is to do what we've learned in really blatant terms over the last year and a half, which is that we're all in this together, whether it's the idling of the mill or the effects of the pandemic. We're in this together, and we have a lot of incredible opportunities ahead of us. And it's going to look different than what we've known before. But they're with the people. With the people at the center of it, we can only move forward in a good way.
Yeah, and you know, maybe we can't do all the things we would like to do for those people in the center of it right this second. But one thing we can do is it's just letting them know we're thinking of them, we have their back, we're doing everything we can, and updating people, keeping people informed. That's one of the biggest things that I've heard from people that are being affected by this directly, is I just want to know what's going on. I'm not expecting everything to be solved right now. Just let me know what's going on. Give me an update, that kind of thing.
And not everyone wants to drive the ship, but everyone, you know, hopefully has an opinion and a voice that that ought to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
I really do appreciate you bringing Kyle in, Chris, and what you guys do over at Encourage and setting these kind of things up all the time, and all the work that you do behind the scenes that we haven't even touched on, that goes on.
We're grateful for, you know, partnerships with the city, and again, to know that we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And even though the perspective and the approach, you know, the way in which Kyle does his job, we're all working towards the same things here, right? It's a community that we love, a community that we believe in, and a community that we know has a lot of incredible potential. And we have learned over 20 years that a crisis will spur you into action. And together we're able to accomplish a lot more than we certainly can on our own. And we're just grateful for everything that the city is doing to help, you know, capitalize and build on all of that potential that we see and we know is inherent, is just in the fabric of this place.
Very well said. You're really on point today, Chris. You really, really got your words down today. And Kyle, as we're wrapping up this topic here a little bit, is there some other things that you wanted to touch on, anything that we didn't get a chance to get to?
Well, I think Chris did a great job in closing.
Yeah, didn't he? Yeah, I'd love to drop the mic right there, right?
I certainly will, just add to that, you know, the city is trying to play a proactive role in, you know, focusing on the mill and trying to, you know, create some opportunity from this idling. And again, while we don't have all the answers and I don't hold the key to the future, hopefully we are taking some progressive, proactive steps to, to make sure that moving forward we have something in place, this redevelopment and recovery plan that we can cite if needed and in different capacities in the future. And so I'm hopeful that we'll receive great comments and input from the public. I'm hopeful that the consultant we're recommending will do a phenomenal job, and I'm excited to begin the project.
And just to kind of rewind a little bit and keep people on the timeline here, that's where we're at in this process, waiting on deciding on the consultant and getting that. That's the next step.
Correct. So the consultant, again, will be hopefully hired to really lead this project next week, and then we'll enter into a contract with them, which can take a couple weeks, and then they're going to hit the ground running. They're going to, again, start the market analysis, and then they'll start the visioning, and that'll involve a heavy public engagement component. And so I would think that maybe there'll be an opportunity to come back on the show once we've got the consultant to promote the project and provide maybe regular updates. But that's a conversation we can have on the side, James.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, too, because that is one thing I wanted to make sure to mention. Any information you guys get, just let us know. We'll get it out there. We'll make sure to do that. I do appreciate that, Kyle. Thank you very much. I did, Chris, I couldn't let you go without talking about this. I've been talking about it for the last week or so on the air. You guys, Helen's Zoo House is having a really fun thing today over at the Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo, where they're going to have their Animal Quest over there. And you guys got a little piece in this, don't you?
We do, yes. We've been a proud partner and presenter of this program through the Helen Mead Funds with Encourage, and it's just an incredible opportunity. Right here in our own community, it's such a wonderful facility, and particularly on the heels of a year and a half where we couldn't do a whole lot together physically, it feels good to have some events and things starting to take place again, even if we're not quite back to where we all want to be right now. It really is a great opportunity, and we're just really, really pleased that that it can happen right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah, one of the things that I appreciate that you guys do, and this is nothing against anybody who does do this, I just think that it's interesting and cool that you guys do. We've been talking about it all week, and I've got it in front of me here, and I see that your Encourage name is mentioned on here, but it's not like in big bright lights and headlining or anything like that. It's not you're not drawing attention away from Helen's Zoo House or the zoo or the Animal Quest event or anything. So I'd like to touch on these things whenever we can, because I don't know if the audience always picks up on that stuff. I don't know if they see that necessarily. That's a credit to what you guys do over there. It truly is. But since we got you on the air here, I like to put you on the spot and give you guys credit.
we appreciate that. And, we don't do it for the applause. Encourage exists to, first and foremost, by our founding directive, to meet the changing needs of this community. And, to do just this, to create opportunities, to ensure that people, whether they're administering a fund while they're still here with us, or maybe it's part of someone's estate, that it can continue to live on and do good in this community, oftentimes in ways that they might not expect, or certainly for days that they may not see themselves. And it's through the generosity of so, so many donors over the years that have come to us and worked with us and entrusted us to say, this is how I want to do good going forward. And we don't need to put our little Encourage logo on everything. Certainly we want people to know that we're here. We're here to help and we're here to do good. But it's not about us. It's about the community. And as long as it is enjoyed and utilized and folks' wishes are going forward in new and really exciting ways, then we're doing what we need to do.
Over at Helen's Zoo House today at 11, and then again at 1 will be Animal Quest. Be sure to check that out. It's such a fun little event, and any chance you get to go to the zoo, I'm taking it. So maybe Kim will be down there. Say hi to Kim if you get a chance. Anybody else that you see from Encourage, please say hello to them. And Chris, before we let you go, you mentioned there that people wanting to give back, or people, if they can do the, if people have follow-up questions, if people want to know how they can do those sorts of things, how can they reach you? How can they find out more about that?
Yes, definitely. EncourageCF, encouragecf.org is our website. There's a wealth of information out there that will be changing up in the near future. I can tease that a little bit with the new website coming. But certainly give the office a call. We're on Facebook. Any of the staff members that are listed or board members, feel free to reach out. Um, it, it shouldn't be scary and it shouldn't be complicated. There's a lot of little steps in between, but we're happy to have the conversation and at least get you thinking in the right direction and maybe hopefully inspire you to think about things that maybe you don't even know are possible, as you think about longer term planning as well. So we're here for good, and we're here for the good of the community. We'd be happy to help.
Now, that's the drop the mic moment. There we go. I'm turning your mic off, Chris. That's how you end things. That was great. Now, Chris, thank you. We appreciate you and what you guys do at Encourage for our community. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much for the time, man.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, always good to talk to you, Christopher. And Kyle, thank you so much for being in with us today.
You're welcome.
We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on AM 1320 WFB.
Get the shot. New evidence shows getting the COVID vaccine early in pregnancy did not increase the risk for miscarriage. Additionally, they found no safety concerns.